Tonight we are talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and that's what we're going to spend the next month doing. Is that right? Yeah, okay. I know what I'm doing. But that's what we're going to be doing. And so we're going to do it together, and it's going to be good. The gifts of the Spirit are something we read about. They're not really that much. They're not written about that much in the Bible. You know, Jesus didn't really talk about the gifts of the Spirit that much, but we see them in demonstration a lot more than maybe you see it written out, you know? And so because of that, I think a lot of things of God are demonstrated and not necessarily spelled out. And so it can be difficult to talk about, you know, because it's so out of this world sometimes, it's difficult for me to stand here or for us to have a conversation out there about the things of God, because sometimes it's just a little too big for us, you know? And so what's really amazing, though, is as you as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He begins to reveal to you these spiritual things that are maybe too much for you to handle. And it says that the Spirit searches out the deep things of God and reveals them to us. And so tonight as we talk, I am not at all going to put off tonight that I'm an expert in what I'm talking about. I know you may be disappointed to hear that. But if you're looking for an expert in this stuff, you probably aren't going to find one, if I'm going to be quite honest. Because I think the expert lives on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, I'm just going to explain to the best of my ability, the Holy Spirit speaking through me, what I've learned about this stuff, what he's revealed to me. And this is not the only revelation. I think we're going to hear other people share what they've learned about it. But there is not some extensive list. There is not a dictionary or an encyclopedia on this stuff. Really, a lot of it, the second you try to nail it down, it might, you know, unnail itself and might, you know, look a different way. So we're not going to try to nail this stuff down. But I think all of us in here, if we would just commit to growing in this, and just commit to learning more, commit to desiring it. And as that happens, more revelation will come. We'll see more manifestation of it. And all of us, not just in here, we'll see manifestation, but also out there. And so tonight, if you just, like in your heart, just make a simple commitment. Maybe you know about the gifts of the Spirit. You know all about it. That's great. Maybe you've operated and seen a lot of cool stuff. That's awesome. Maybe you come from like a denomination or a background where gifts of the Spirit was passed away and, you know, it was not a thing for today. But wherever we're at tonight, we're all just going to commit to grow. Does that sound good? And I'm committed to grow in this. And I've been learning a lot about this the last few months. So I'm excited to share some things with you. That being said, gifts of the Spirit, the place we kind of see this primarily is in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, okay? And those are chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Now, it's really cool because Corinthians, it's a church, the church at Corinth. The Apostle Paul's writing to this church. And if you read Corinthians, I encourage you to do it. It's a ridiculous book because Paul's all over the place in it. And really what he's doing, if you read it, he's addressing some issues that they have going on. How many of you like your issues addressed, right? That's a lot of fun. And I know I do. And so he's addressing some issues that this particular church has. So it'd be very much like a minister that we all know. I'll just use Jeremy Gall, for instance. He's someone who knows us and has been a part of our history. If he were to write us a letter and say, this is the stuff I see going on, and this are some questions that you've asked me, and here's what I think, and here's what God is saying. And sometimes it's just what he thinks, because Paul says that, but I won't get into that. Here's what I think, here's what God is saying, and here's what I want to say to you guys as a church. This is what Paul did in 1 Corinthians. And if you see it, it goes through. He addresses some very specific stuff. There was some bad stuff going on in this church. And if you read about it, you can go and have some fun and read about that on your own time. But then he gets to this part and he starts addressing stuff about spiritual gifts. Now, if you read about this church at Corinth, they're a funny church because they were very, very, the word we would use today is charismatic. They were very out there. Maybe a word that you've heard before, flaky, right? They were just beyond maybe what you would experience at your normal just, you know, Southern Baptist church, right? They were just doing whatever they wanted to. So they would gather like this, And Mr. Mike over there could be doing his own thing, and Miss Tanya, she'd be over here doing her thing, and Eddie be on the front row dancing around, which would be a sight. And they were all gathering together, and a lot of nonsense was going on. But what was confusing is that none of them really knew what was right or what was wrong. So the Apostle Paul writes in, and he's someone who knows God, someone who he had the revelation of Jesus. I mean, he saw Jesus, right? And so he was someone who had the authority to say, this is right, this is wrong, this is what order looks like, this is what confusion looks like. And he goes through and he says a lot of stuff in these three chapters. And we're not going to cover it all tonight, but that's just kind of an overview of what was going on, the context behind this. And he's, if we start in 1 Corinthians 12, just verse 1, he says this to them. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And so there was a lot of ignorance in this church about spiritual gifts. Now, I will say this. If they had ignorance back then, do you think we may have ignorance going on today? Probably. And I would tell you this, that there is probably a lot more ignorance than not ignorance, know-how, whatever the other opposite of that is. There's probably a lot more ignorance than knowledge of these gifts, if I'm being quite honest. In my own life, I think I'm pretty ignorant about some of these things, you know? And if we read through, you'll kind of see, you know? So he says, I don't want you guys to be ignorant. You know that you guys, and this is in verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles. You were carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. So these people were used to doing whatever they felt like doing, right? Just their feelings, following this stuff. So then when they experience God, all of a sudden they have permission, right, to do this stuff, right? Because, you know, they put the God stamp on it all. But they're still kind of being led by feelings and just do whatever seems right, you know? Does that make sense? So then he goes down. Let's just skip down to verse 4. I'm just going to skip verse 3. It's a good verse, but we'll talk about, you know, it doesn't apply at this moment. It says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, notice there's kind of, it's kind of this parallel structure throughout it. It says there's differences, but it's the same. There's differences, diversities, but it's the same God. And so I think it's pretty clear. If you look around at these mosaics, no, this stained glass that we have, you guys see this? You can look around. This is illustrative. Okay. You look around. Each of those tiles is very different, but it's all very much the same. It's making the same picture, right? Do you guys see how that works? Yeah, we can look around. Okay. There's different shapes, different colors, different sizes, right? And I look around at these. They're all, if I was to go through every stone, they're all different. They're all kind of etched a little bit different, but they make and form the same thing. And this is very much what Paul is saying here. It's like there's these different things going on when we gather and we come together. And I may have something going and you may have something going and it looks different. And it would be very easy to say, well, this is right and that's wrong. But Paul's saying, no, no, no. There's differences. There's diversities. Activities look different. But it's all coming from the same God. That's very important. Because tonight, look around at this room. We have some very different looking people, right? We're all dressed different, right? You know, some of us talk different. Some of us are from different places. Like I already said, a lot of us are from different types of churches and backgrounds. Some of us grew up in church. Some of us are still barely in church, you know? And so it's like, if we were to look around at this room, there is not like one Christian. We can say, this is what a Christian looks like. We can't do that in this room, right? And we can't even say, well, this is good and this is bad, because there's so much difference. And Paul is saying this with the things of God, is that with giftings and with abilities and graces from the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of differences. And when there's a lot of differences, there can be a lot of problems, right? Yeah. I know it's kind of easy. This is just what popped in my mind. It's easy in my house for me to get along with my brother. You know, we would butt heads over certain things, sometimes wrestle some things out. But when you threw in my sisters, who were, you know, different genders, there was just a lot more confusion and a lot more issues. I don't know if you guys have experienced that, just between guy and girl, right? Isn't that funny? And I know I'm not going to go into relationships and marriages and all that, but I know you can just see it there. But just simply, we can see in our own life that differences can cause big problems. And think about the Civil War. There was differences, right? And it caused a big problem for our nation, right? And we're still dealing with some of those differences from that time. Isn't that crazy? So differences cause issues, but if we recognize that it all comes from the same God, the same place, then it kind of puts us at ease. Okay, I can be okay with you because I know you're on God's side, I'm on His side, we're both following God, we're both flowing, so it's okay. And I may not understand everything about you, I may not even like some of the stuff, but I'm going to learn as I'm following God to not just put up with you, but to appreciate you, to appreciate these differences. Now, tonight, you would think I'm talking about something else. Tonight, it kind of sounds like we're doing like a celebrate and diversity thing, but we're not. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, right? And I love this. I love Good News Church, how diverse we are. And let's keep that going, guys, you know? It says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And so he goes through and says there's differences, but it comes from the same God, and God's working all these things and all. And then it says that the manifestation, basically like us seeing it happen, it actually happening out here in this world, it's given to each one for the profit of all. So you're given manifestation, I'm given manifestation, people in the back are given manifestation, right? All of us are given manifestation. What's the purpose of it all? It's for the profit of all. And so this is kind of a problem with spiritual gifts, as you'll see, is that when I make it about me, then I've missed the whole point. And this is easy to do. Anytime you have a gifting in life, it's very easy to get on your high horse and just ride it out. Look at me, you know, I'm better at this than you, right? Growing up, my brother and I, we play lots of sports, right? And so, you know, we like to compare each other in certain sports. Well, if we get into football, I'm better at throwing, he's better at catching, all right? We got into baseball, he's better at hitting, I'm better at playing out in the field. Better at basketball, we play basketball, he might be better at all of it, but we won't go into that one. At golf, I'm good at putting, he's good at driving. You know, if you just go down it, we're really not the same in many regards. But we're when we get together and play, we're trying to play the same sport. And so if I was the whole time to be like, well, I'm just such a better putter than you, and you know, you just really need to work on this, this, and this, I think we would miss out on, whoa, he's really good at driving, you know? And here's something amazing. If I was to go play a game of golf, I would rather him drive and me putt, right? If I was really appreciating gifts and what God's doing, I would rather him do what he's good at and me do what I'm good at, right? And I think it's very much the same thing with the things of God. We have people in here who sing up on stage, and I'm glad that they do. I'm glad it's not me, aren't you? Right? So let's let the singers do lead, and we can follow. But some of us in here, if we handed you the mic tonight, it would be kind of uncomfortable for you and for all of us, and that's okay. So, you know what I'm saying? Some of us, you know, there's some people I don't want cleaning my house, and there's some people I do want cleaning. Vanessa, you're one of those people. You know, if you have the gifting, then let's, you know, pass you the ball, you know? And so a lot of times with spiritual giftings, I will just say the overarching problem with spiritual giftings, before we even talk about what they are, the overarching problem is this, is that people make them about me or about us. You know, people make them about themselves. And it says, Paul says, he says very clearly, it's given to each one for the profit of everyone, for all. And so that's something I think that's so basic going in, if we're talking about this, that has to be established, that a gift from God is not just for you. It's for the profit of us all. And that's like so foundational. That's so like, you know, basic, but man, there's so many people that are gotten away from that, and it's about them, you know? And so I think what would be amazing is to have a church where we all desire these things, we all want these things, and we all have manifestations of these things, but it's for everybody. It's not, you know, for me up here. It's not for you to have a story. It's not for, you know, somebody to get a moment of glory or anything like that. It's for that my manifestation, when I am manifesting, you know, God's life on the inside of me, the Holy Spirit flowing through me, it should be for you guys, not for myself. And the same, when you're doing that, it should be for us, not for you. And I think that's so just key. So just keep that in mind. So Paul goes out and he kind of identifies. And if you read them, there's nine different gifts of the Spirit. Do you guys want to try to name some of them? Can we do a little interactive part without looking down at your Bible or anything? Don't put it up, Sharon. Let's name some of them, okay? There's nine of them. Let's try to name some. Prophecy. Good, good. That's in there. All right. We're confident in that one. Word of wisdom. Discernment. Knowledge. So discernment, it says the discerning, I'll just read it right here. It says discerning of different kinds of, discerning of spirits, right? So discerning of spirits, what else? Special faith, gifts of faith, yet gifts of healings, working of miracles, we're getting good. I think there's a few more we haven't named. Different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. You see how kind of chaotic it gets just with this little exercise. It's kind of fun, right? Have we missed any? We got them all. Praise the Lord. So Paul says, we're gathering together and these different things are happening. And so let's just slap some names on these bad boys, you know? So he starts, I think that's what happened. I don't know. But he kind of names and titles and puts some things in some boxes. Now, the crazy thing is once you try to box any of these gifts up, you realize that they unwrap themselves, you know? Like they do their own thing a little bit. So you can't quite always say, well, this is this and that's that. But the principle is there. And so I think during these series, I'm not promising this, but I hope that one thing that comes out of this series is that we'll go through some of these gifts, right? Will that happen? It will happen. So there's a promise from her. From Pastor Susie, that it'll happen. I'm not going to go through them tonight. I will just say this, that they're all very important, you know, and that we need all of them in our church. We need all of them in the global church. And here's why we need them all, is that they're for the profit of all. There's a lot of problems and a lot of people who have needs and a lot of people who need to experience God. And what you need help in may not be what I need, right? Some of us need words for things specifically right now today. Some of us need direction for the future. Some of us need healing in our physical bodies, right? Some of us need a miracle, right? On that day when Jesus is out and they have no food, they're out in the wilderness and we've got a huge crowd, they needed a miracle that day. They didn't need a prophecy or a word of knowledge. Here's a word of knowledge. We don't have any food, you know? Like, that's not what they needed. That didn't help the problem, you know? And so the reason that there are diversities is because there's different needs and there's different things that need to be fulfilled and things that happen, you know? And so all of us in our own lives, we shouldn't nail down, well, I really want this one because I just like it, you know? But none of us should nail down things like that, recognizing that the world, this church, that people need us to learn how to flow in all of these things. We need these manifestations in all of us, you know? It's so important. And so somebody will explain that. Come back later for the explanation of what all those giftings are. But just know this, they're all important. And then it says in verse 11, it says, but one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So one, it's the Holy Spirit. He's working all of them. They all come from him. And then he distributes to each person as he wills. So I can't quite come up here tonight and tell you, well, you got this gift and you got that gift and here's a brand new car. No, I can't quite come in and do that tonight because I don't know. And, you know, I think sometimes we talk about, well, I have this gift and they've got that gift. And it doesn't always quite work that way, you know. It says that it's the Spirit who wills and he distributes them as he wills. And so some days, right, we may need one thing, but another day we might need something else. So why even lock down one gift? Because there may be a day when you need another gift, you know? So this is just very practical. If you go through and read the rest of this chapter, we're not going to do that. Paul keeps talking about this, and he basically says, like, we can't say an eye is better than a nose or, you know, a hand's better than a foot. And once again, kind of what I started off with, none of these things can we say are better than the others. In the same way, we can't say anyone in this room is better than another, right? And so what we should all desire to do is to learn to appreciate all of these things, appreciate each other. Now, I want to jump to a scripture in Hebrews, if that's okay. And like I said, there's not a lot. If you type in gifts of the Spirit on Bible Gateway or on your Bible app, it's not going to pop up a bunch of verses because there honestly aren't. And this is a reason that a lot of people don't really, you know, maybe believe in this and God using people this way, is because in the Bible you don't see it spelled out very much, but you do see it demonstrated a lot, you know. So we'll talk about that in a moment. And Hebrews 2 is another place that we do see it kind of spelled out or just mentioned. It says in verse 2, if you put that up there, Hebrews 2:2, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." So that's kind of a question. There's a question mark at the end there, so it's hard to read. But notice this, that it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? A lot of people are neglecting how great salvation is. I think a lot of people in the church have just forgotten what it means to be saved. You know, it's a big deal. And so because of that, God set in order some things that we would, and so that we would not neglect salvation and how great it is, he set some things in order. And he provided some things for us, you know. Like if you're in a court, I'll just say this, if you're at a court, you know, and you have a witness come in, right, they provide some sort of evidence of why they believe what they believe, or this happened and here's why I think it happened, you know, here's the glove, right? There's evidence that's provided. And so God, in the same way, in order to provide evidence for how great salvation is, he set some things up. He put some things in motion. And here's what it just lists out. It says signs and wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Spirit. Those are three things that are listed out there. And those are three things that we should expect. That if God's going to bear witness to us as Christians, as a Jesus follower, we should expect those things to be an operation demonstration in our lives. Guys, this is good stuff. And it says that it's according to his own will. So it's not so much that I make it happen. It's according to his will. But I just want to let you know, it's his will to do this stuff all the time. Why? Because he loves people. He wants to show himself real to people. So it only makes sense that he wants to show off healing and have signs and wonders. It only makes sense that he wants prophecy to be a thing. It only makes sense that he wants words of knowledge, because people need to know what's going on, right? And so because of God's love, he bears witness to himself for the sake of people, not for the sake of himself. For the sake of us, for the profit of us, he bears witness to himself with these signs, with these gifts. Why? So that we would know him, so that we would experience him, so that more of him, you and I, here on this earth, we can't see God. But when we experience the gift of the Spirit, it's out of the normal, and so I know there must be a God. I know that his word must be true. I'll tell you a story from the Bible. In John chapter 4, Jesus, one day he gets thirsty. And if you read the story, Jesus is actually hungry, and he sent the disciples off, and they're getting food, because those guys probably were hungry all the time. Just think about that, carrying around a bunch of guys who are probably wanting to eat all the time, you know? And so they're walking a lot. They're hungry. And so Jesus, he's sitting at this well, and he's hungry, and he's thirsty, and he was a man just like you and I are, you know? And so he had to eat, he had to drink, he had to breathe, you know? I don't like to say this, but I'm going to say he had to use the bathroom just like us. And so sometimes we make him so holy, which he very much is, but he was lived in these bodies just like we do, you know? He chose that, not, you know, I'm not saying that he's the one who decided that, right? And so he lived in these bodies like us. And so he's there one day, and he's by this well, and he's thirsty, he's hungry. And this woman comes up, and it says she's a Samaritan. Now in that day, Jews and Samaritans did not quite get along, right? They were on different sides of the tracks, right? They weren't friends. They weren't neighbors or anything. And so he asks this woman for a drink from the well. And so she's thrown off by it because she knows, like, why are you asking me for a drink? This is not socially acceptable. Jesus, this isn't okay, you know? And so Jesus begins to have a conversation with her. And in the middle of that, he says, you know, go call your husband, right? Do you guys remember this? And when he says that, something kind of comes out of this woman's heart. Something that's more than just her talking, something more than talking about the weather. They're kind of like bantering back and forth, right? There it is on the screen. They're bantering back and forth. Then in a moment, Jesus says, go call your husband and come here. Now, why did he ask that? I don't know. There's probably some cultural reason or something we could come up with. But he says this, and look at her response. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. So what are you talking about? And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. And then he says in verse 18, he says, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you truly spoke. So just imagine that. You're this woman. You're going to the well like every other day. You see this Jewish guy. He offers, you know, he wants something to drink. This is kind of a weird situation. But maybe you as this woman, you're a little promiscuous. You know, this is kind of your thing, right? And so she's bantering back and forth, has some confidence to banter with this man, right, who she's not supposed to be talking to. In the middle of this, Jesus says, go call your husband and come here. All right, kind of weird. Out of left field, maybe. Notice her response, I have no husband. And she was right. And Jesus says, yeah, you're right. In fact, you know, you've had several. And the guy you're with right now, he's not even your husband. Now, what is her response to this? Because that would kind of freak you out with that, you know, like just a stranger you meet, if they kind of said all that to you, that would freak you out, right? And think about it. Back in this day, there was no Facebook. There was no way to stalk you. This is just random, you know? It's completely random. And she says this. She says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Right? Isn't that what you would come up with? Like, you know, are you a soothsayer? Can you tell the future? You know, fortune teller? How do you know this about me? And she says, I perceive that you are a prophet. And so we don't have to go further with this story, but we all know the end of this story. This woman, she leaves her water pot. She rushes back to her village. She says, come see the man who told me everything about myself. A whole village comes, and this Samaritan village, they all accept Christ. They all, you know, they all have this moment. This is the Messiah, which is so cool because these guys shouldn't have. They're on the other side of the tracks, you know. Jesus cares enough about them to go to them and says, hey, this is me. Yeah, this woman saw it. And then it says this at the end that they didn't believe just because of what the woman said, but they came and they saw and experienced themselves. And he stayed there a few days. So that's the power of a gift of the Spirit. If you just see it kind of there, that's what it can do. It can take a conversation that's just surface, and you may have a relationship with somebody that's just very surface. You go to work every day, you see them, and hey, how you doing? And just kind of the same thing. Or maybe you know people who have routes and salespeople, and you may see them, you know, every month or every few weeks. And it's just kind of, you know, back and forth, not really much, you know. And in the middle of that, a gift of the Spirit can just cut right to the issue, which is so cool. Because if Jesus was talking to this woman, you know, I'm sure the thing about a husband would have came up at some point. But like, how long would he have had to work it, you know? And this is kind of, I'm going to put this down right here to make a statement. Oh, wait, is that, that's what I'm talking with. There we go. Why am I talking with that? I'm going to put that down to make a statement. We do so much just on the surface. We do so much with our own minds and reasoning. And what if we could just cut right to the issue? You know, what if we could just go right to the deal? You know, why do you know, I knew somebody who their great plan was to move to Australia. And in Australia, they were just going to get to know the people and they were going to try to reach the people. And their plan was that we were going to go to the bars and drink with the people and be like them. And then at the end of it, we would just tell them, hey, do you know about Jesus? And they would think, well, you know, you're like us. And if you like Jesus, then we should like Jesus. And that'd be the end of the story, you know. But how many of you know it doesn't really work that way? That's just kind of stupid, if I'm just being real. And a lot of our strategies with reaching people and helping the world are just kind of like in our heads. And so a gift of the Spirit, it can be there right in the moment. It can cut to some stuff. And stuff that may take years of you getting to know somebody in a moment, it can just be brought up. And then it has a wow factor. Everyone likes the wow factor, you know? I'll tell you all a story. It's kind of recent. One of my friends from school, his name is Robert Smalls, which that's a really cool name. His name is Robert Smalls, and he came. We were hosting an event, a retreat, and then we had Camp Overflow. This just happened. He came to that, and we had talked about the gifts of the Spirit during the middle of all this, and we were believing to see these things in operation at camp. And we didn't care. We didn't pick, you know, Robert, well, here's going to be your gift. And, you know, Wesley, here's what you're going to have. And Jamel. We didn't do that. We just said, we're all seeking these things. We all desire them. Let's just see what happens when we go to camp. We'll just give opportunity to it and see what happens. And so Robert gets to camp. He is a young guy on his team named Donnie. And so Donnie, I don't know much about him. I'm not going to tell you guys his life story because I don't know it. I just know that Donnie doesn't. He didn't necessarily believe that much in God. It was kind of like on the fence. He had heard about some things, but had never experienced it all. So he comes to camp. Am I right about that? Yeah. He comes to camp, and, you know, he was dragged along by some people, and he's just there. He doesn't know exactly what to expect. And so Donnie's in Robert's group. You know, we each had little small groups and stuff, and they're talking. And so, but they just small talked. There was nothing too deep, you know, maybe shared some things, but you know, it's just surface. And honestly, Donnie didn't want to go deep. And I know a lot of us, some days we just don't want to go deep, right? We don't want to tell about our dark past, or we don't want to tell, you know, about all of our husbands, or, you know, it's just, we don't want to talk about that, you know? And so Donnie didn't want to go deep, and he's at camp. And so Robert, we only have between 2 and 3 days with these kids. It's not like we can go through their whole childhood and we can work everything out. We don't have enough time to counsel and do all of this, right? We got to get right to it and quickly, you know? And so we're having a night service, and it was kind of open, and some of the counselors were ministering to the young people and praying for them, and people are crying. It's really an awesome sight. If you guys have never been, you know, oh, someone over there is crying, and someone over there, they're having a moment. Someone's knelt down, and, you know, it's very awesome. And Robert got this word. Robert, my friend, who I'm telling this story about, he got this word just on the inside. It just came up from within, where the Holy Spirit is, just came up. The word, actually the name, DeMarco. Now, that's not the most, like, common name. I mean, how many of us in here know a DeMarco? Maybe a couple of us, right? It's not like DeMarco was not on the list this year of popular baby names or anything, you know? It's like, it's not up there. I'm not saying it's a bad name. It's just not the most popular name around. And so when you hear a name, you know, if I was to get the name, like, John on the inside, it'd be like, okay, you know, I'm sure all of us know a John, you know? But it got this name, DeMarco. And so Robert's like, what is this? And he's just praying, you know, thinking about it. What is this? And in the middle of all of that, somewhere he sees Donnie, and he knows that it's for Donnie, this kid who's come to camp, who doesn't know much about God. Robert gets this name, DeMarco. So he goes up to Donnie, and he says, do you have a friend named DeMarco? And you guys know what happened. Mr. Donnie, he flipped. He freaked out. He says, how do you know this about me? He's like, no one knows. And he went over and grabbed his friend that he came with. He said, he just asked about DeMarco. Can you believe this? How does he know about DeMarco? And Donnie just kind of was just freaking out. And he's like, how does this random guy I've never met know about DeMarco? Now, DeMarco, if you want to hear a little bit of his story, he had had some trouble. He was a friend of Donnie's, had some serious trouble. And he had just come back into Donnie's life like the day before. And Donnie had felt like he should help the guy out somehow, but didn't know how to, and felt like he kind of missed this opportunity. And so now, kind of literally in the same week, some random person's coming up to him saying, DeMarco, do you have a friend named DeMarco? And Donnie's freaking out. Now, that would freak you out too, right? Matilda. No, I'm just kidding. that would freak you out, right? If that happened in your life. And so here's what happened as a result of that. The rest of that night, Donnie talked about that. They said that he kept people up in his tent, but he's talking about it so much, it just freaked him out. And it's not always the goal to freak people out, but we got to get to people somehow, you know? And so this is how God got to Donnie, was through DeMarco, right? Robert via Robert, right? And so Donnie, that 3 days that he was there, 2.5, whatever, however long, 2 nights, 3 days, 2 nights, Donnie got saved, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and he got baptized in water, all because of DeMarco. Now that's the power of it. And I'm not going to lie to you and say that's what, you know, happens every day to us, you know, because I don't, you know, that's not necessarily, if you wake up tomorrow, you might be, you know, you might be disappointed if you're looking for DeMarco or something written on the ceiling or something, you know. But that's what God can do. And notice he does it through someone. It's not random. It's not in the sky. It's like I said, it's not on your ceiling. That's how he used to talk to people back in the old covenant. But in the new covenant, he uses us, right? It says he wants to use the church to reveal to the world who he is. And so he used Robert, a believer, just like you and I. He's a young guy, you know, younger than me. And he got this word DeMarco, and it changed this kid's life forever. I don't think that kid's ever going to forget DeMarco, you know? And so that's what we should expect. That's what we should desire. And I'm going to read one last scripture to you, and we're about to close up. It's gone by real fast for me. I hope it's gone by fast for y'all. I was praying the other day, and I saw, I was praying about this stuff. I saw power lines, you know, and with the transformer and all that, and power lines. And that's what it is a lot like. We are those lines. God has this power that he's trying to get to the world. We're those lines. He's getting it through us. And down the line, you know, if I keep going down the line, if power isn't flowing through me, then people down the line aren't going to get the power. And I think this is what's kind of happening in the world. We're kind of blaming God. Well, why aren't they saved? Or we're blaming the world. Why are you such sinners? When really, it's the problem's with us. It's with me, you know? The power's got to get through me if it's going to get down the line. You know? Do you guys see that? In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul kind of says, here's how this is what we should do. This is our response. And in verse 1, I'll close with this. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And there's more with that. They'll talk about that at some point. But just those first two parts, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And as we were singing, I kind of got another element. I'm not going to add to the scriptures in any way, but here's just what I felt while we were singing and worshiping. Pursue love, stay in his flow, and desire spiritual gifts. As we pursue after love, we're not pursuing gifts, all right? It's not about who's got the shiniest toy or this and that. That's not what we're going after. At the end of the day, we're going after love. We want people like Donnie to experience God, right? We love people like Donnie, and we want him and others like him to experience God. So we're pursuing that, pursuing God's love. We're staying in the flow. I'm not in and out, right? That's inconsistent. That's not what God had designed for his church. It's not once in my life do I have this gift. You know, it's stay in it. You know, that's why I had us pray in tongues there. It's something, when you're praying in tongues, you should be doing that every day. You just stay in that flow. It's not one time in your life. It's continual. So pursue love, stay in the flow, the Holy Spirit flow in your life, and desire these gifts. And as we do that, we'll see a lot of people saved. Amen? We'll see a lot of people touched. So that's all I got tonight. If we can all just stand and we'll just close here.